This is To the Ends of the Earth. The purpose of this broadcast is to encourage your faith and ministry in the Lord Jesus Christ. Each broadcast seeks to highlight a missionary or organization that can encourage you and provide resources for your ministry, whether at home or abroad, whether vocationally or on a volunteer basis. It is our prayer that this presentation will inspire, encourage, and equip you to serve the Lord by bringing the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. My guest today is Jeff Phipps, a dear friend and fellow minister of the gospel. Over the years, Jeff has been involved in church planning, deeply involved in Bible Framework Ministries, and he's currently heading DM2's efforts to equip and encourage pastors in Natal, Brazil. Jeff is also the president of Camp Arete, a youth Bible camp that meets each year in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, which is the subject of today's show. Please enjoy this interview with Jeff Phipps. Well, it's an absolute privilege, Jeff, to welcome you here. It's been, a good handful of years since I met you and had the privilege of getting to serve the Lord with you. And you're familiar with the program, but we always start by asking our guests to share the gospel. So would you please give us a quick gospel presentation today?
Yeah, I surely will, Brad. And before I get to that, thanks for having me. And it just seems like yesterday that we were together fellowshipping at Arete there in Tennessee.
Amen.
Just such a wonderful time.
Amen.
And, you asked about the gospel. Very interesting this day and age that we're in. I think Satan's got his hands on the message of the gospel, as he does in every age, but particularly in America nowadays. I find that if you ask somebody to define the gospel, it'll be few and far between that you'd meet somebody that would define it, say, like the Apostle Paul would.
Mm-hmm.
Very clear cut. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That message is what Paul defines as the gospel, the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and was raised on the third day.
Mm.
But when you, what I find in my own personal experience is that that particular message, out of 100 Christians that you would poll, maybe 2 or 3, maybe 4, hopefully ones that attend our church,
exactly,
would define it as Paul did. And so I like to contextualize the gospel message inside of a relationship.
Mm.
And I find that the analogy I share with people is it's kind of like a marriage proposal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in this sense, this is something that you're sharing with somebody that you care about and hopefully love.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to get them to accept your proposal because you are proposing something new to them. Mm-hmm. And so I find that instead of kind of this drive-by gospel, drive-by gospel shooting or the gospel bomb.
It is a war, after all.
Indeed. Indeed it is. Well-intended Christians, of course. And it's appropriate at times to drop a gospel bomb on someone, but more and more I've come to believe that the model for sharing the gospel is inside of a relationship.
Mm.
And if you wanted me to boil it down to the essentials, I think there's 3 things that need to occur. First is somebody needs to be convinced that they need a Savior.
Mm.
And there's a lot of different ways to do that. I'm not sure there's a formula that I can give you, but I think the Bible does a pretty good job of spelling that out. And I usually go to just a couple of verses in Romans. Of course, the Genesis account is great. And again, in the context of a relationship. And then secondly, you need to share, once somebody understands that they are condemned, you need to share an accurate presentation of what they need to do to save themselves, which I personally believe is faith alone and Christ alone.
Mm.
You know, Jesus was very clear about his message, you know, repent and believe on me. And so when I say repent, I mean a change of one's mind about who Jesus is.
Oh, certainly. Mm.
And then thirdly, there's a conversion when somebody actually accepts this proposition, those two propositions, and trusts in Christ as their Savior. Mm-hmm. And I steer away from telling people a specific prayer to pray. Mm-hmm. I'm very careful not to introduce anything to do with lordship, or it's just very straightforward message that if you trust in Christ as your Savior, He will save you. Mm. And you know, I don't think God is up there as a goalie, you know, trying to block the conversions. Oh, he didn't say that one right and knocked it out. But hopefully that wasn't too much of a long-winded answer there. But yeah, that's faith alone and Christ alone. That's where I'm at on the gospel message. Mm.
No, we just cannot overstate that. I mean, we need that constant and even repetitious reminder that the gospel of Christ, His crucifixion for our sin and our salvation by faith alone, but through grace alone, simply cannot be departed from our viewpoint. We need to keep that before us. So I really appreciate your passion on the topic. So as we're here to talk about Camp Arete, and I'm very excited to do so, I'd love for us to give our listeners, and really me, a picture of the history of Camp Arete, and with a particular view towards what motivated the original team to create this camp.
Great question. Thanks for that, Brad. As I recall, Camp Arete has been around for about 7 years. Our original vision, which is still, for the most part, our vision today, was to provide a camp for small churches that in the Bible church movement, surprisingly and sadly, if you actually teach the Bible in your church, chances are you're going to have a small church. Mm-hmm. Usually 3 or 4 or 5 teenagers are not enough to have a youth group or any type of a place that they would call home, their summer camp that they grew up with. Mm. And so Arete was founded to reach those teenagers in small Bible churches anywhere in the country, and bring them together with other like-minded believers in hopes of encouraging them, in hopes of allowing them to just to meet somebody that, if you're from Texas and you go to this small Bible church and as a young man or woman, you may be challenged with the ideas of, you know, am I this, you know, am I kind of this weirdo that goes to this small little Bible church and there's no one else like me?
Right.
And you meet somebody from California who's in the same predicament, or somebody from Virginia. And it's really, I think, a way to open their eyes to the body of Christ. So that was, if you would, the impetus and in the way, I guess, you know, there's kind of another side to that story, and that we weren't aware, and I'm sure they're out there. We certainly don't hold ourselves up as being anything super special, but we do have a specific dedication to the Word of God. I mean, at Camp Arete, from the beginning, all 7 years and going forward, we have a firm belief in the transformative power of God's Word. Mm. Although we do, of course, have many fun activities, we've got this awesome activities director. This dude rocks. Every year he tells me how bad I'm messing cut camp up with activities. I love them. Of course we have that. Great activities, great counselors. But, you know, we do teach the Bible from a dispensational presupposition, and we do teach from a historically grammatical, literal hermeneutic. You know, what was the author's intent when he shared it? And we do that 3 times a day with a tailored message to the teens. And we found that to be a very successful formula. The kids love it. And we've also found that it's that focus on God's Word and us getting behind it has really changed lives with the campers that we've had.
I have to echo that completely. It is remarkable to me. I think early on I was quite convinced that 3 hours of teaching plus a day was excessive, but through the years of going through this and seeing Arete grow and develop, there's been no question about the incredible growth and the bond and the acceptance, the receptivity of these kids to the Word of God, particularly in this setting. So, and what's really cool, at least from my end, is having grown up in sort of Christian camping ministries, the bond between the students that grows because it's built on the Word of God. So phenomenal application. I know this is kind of a strange question because you already alluded to the fact that we hope there's hundreds of, you know, different groups doing just what we're doing, edifying, teaching young people and bringing, you know, the young people of the church together. But why would you say there's a need for another camp? What is it that Arete does that's special and unique? And why is it so vital to the growth of the larger church today?
You know, Arete does have distinctives, and I'm going to use this term in our schoolhouse. And when I say that, I'm talking about in the church circles that I'm exposed to. There isn't a good connection or bridge, maybe is a better word, to bring the youth across into adulthood and connected with our faith. I was recently at a Bible conference and had the opportunity to speak about Arete, and it's a very large Bible conference attended by 60 or 70 different churches. And I asked a simple question: is anybody in the room that's under 40, raise your hand? I excluded the women, of course. I didn't run out on my ear on that. But of the men, two people raised their hands.
Wow.
And so there's, you know, there's a lot of things that Bible teaching churches do get right. There's a leak in the dam here, if you would, on this bringing the youth along and that transition from being growing up in a Bible church, transitioning into adulthood, and we lose them. And so, Brad, I think Arete, of course, we are not the solution to the problem, but we do what we can to walk in front of these kids in love and truth, and as adults that aren't their parents, you know, they see us functioning. It has an impact on their lives. Also, it gets these kids connected with each other, so when they go off into college and they face temptations, they've made some like-minded friends, and albeit on Skype or Twitter or whatever the latest app is they've got on their phone, they stay connected, and there's an element of encouragement there. And so that's one thing that is unique. And again, I'm speaking to, you know, our schoolhouse, and as I defined it, you know, these are the churches I'm exposed to, you know, 50 or 60 Bible churches around the country. But I think, you know, circling back to one of the comments I made at the conference, we firmly believe in the power of God's word, and we have an intense focus on that. I mean, it is our priority. I like to describe it as our DNA. And I think that shot in the arm that they get from us, combined with the fellowship with their peers, and then walking with men and women that love them and are serving them, I think we have an impact. We touch that generation in a way that hopefully either brings them back to their church or connects them with another solid Bible teaching church.
Well, as a pastor, I can say how much I appreciate that focus of Camp Arete, with the idea of preparing them to go back and serve in their church, versus the thought of kind of taking them away from their church, but really with a goal of equipping them and empowering them and exciting them to serve the Lord in the context of their local church. It's fantastic. So really excited to every time I hear us talk about that. So we're going to take a little break and listen to some of the verses that you picked out. I really am excited for the ones you did. And we'll be back in just a moment to talk about them.
Sounds great.
First Thessalonians 5:15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another, by which we may build up, spiritually strengthen one another. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Romans 12:4-5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not all have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. 2 Corinthians 10:5-6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So thankful that you chose those passages. It's really so nice to get a good breadth of scripture across, and I'm really excited to hear how those have impacted you, and particularly how they've impacted the calling and function of Camporete. So would you mind sharing with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Brad, we when we first established Camporete, there was a lot of debate. There was three or four of us that got together. And we were really trying to find a direction. We knew we wanted to go into the mountains. At the time, it was Colorado. As you know, we've since transitioned to Tennessee. But at the time, we wanted to go into Colorado and have a rockin' good time with teenagers. But we weren't really sure how to conduct ourselves theologically, if you would. Or, you know, what would be the core thing? What are our core values? Aside from having a blast with the kids, I'm not sure what verse that is, by the way, but I'm sure it's in there somewhere in the original.
Relay races with the disciples? I know it was.
That's right. So these verses really, I spent about a week pulling these together and thinking through what are the core attributes that we want to impart to these kids. And, you know, this first 1 Thessalonians 5:15, really one of the things that we wanted to focus on was demonstrating love. And as you know, love is not passive, right? It's active. Mm-hmm. It's action. Mm-hmm. It's action oriented. And mm-hmm. So this particular verse just stuck to my heart as something that could guide us in love. And as you probably well know, there's many opportunities to apply love when you're trying to put together a camp.
Between that and patience, you have everything.
That's right. Amen, brother. And then this Romans passage, Romans 14, verse 19, that love always has to be based on truth. And again, that really the hinge pin of our ministry at Camporete is truth. And so this idea of edification of one another is, in my mind, a part of love. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, this bearing with one another, again, an offshoot of love, right? And then Hebrews 10:24, encouraging good works in each other, stirring up, considering one another, and stirring up good works. And then, so those are all kind of tied to that central theme of love. in camp. So we have teaching, we have encouragement of good works, we have ample opportunity for to forgive each other as each year passes. And then the other thing was, as we mentioned, this idea of the body of Christ being larger than my small little Bible church, where I have two teenage friends that I've known my whole life.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, that Romans 12, 4 through 5, just understanding that the body of Christ doesn't know the church walls. It doesn't know your city. Mm. Body of Christ doesn't know your state. Doesn't know America. The body of Christ is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And such a tremendous, tremendous transformative idea when you understand that Jesus cares as much for you as he does for some believer in the Middle East that lives in a very repressed society that's accepted Christ.
Mm.
Just that whole, if you would, how we all fit together. And then finally, you know, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5 through 6, and all of this is, you know, I've repeated many times, probably ad nauseum here, but this Bible, in-depth Bible teaching that we believe at Camp Arete, this idea of equipping the saints is directly directly related to Bible teaching. Mm-hmm. And if you would, these other ideas, these other verses and philosophical hinge pins flow out of that sound in-depth Bible teaching.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. It's so fantastic just to see how the direction of the camp is scripturally guided in terms of loving relationships one with another and the declaration of the unity of the body of Christ, the core spiritual unity of the body of Christ, as well as the vitality of the teaching of the Word of God and understanding of the Word of God in order to combat the incredible deception that goes on in the world. So, tremendous. Thank you for choosing those verses. What a delight that is.
Well, thank you.
So, we know that every ministry has challenges and dark spots, struggles and difficulties, and I just wanted to ask if you, without necessarily sharing specifics or names, if you would share a little bit about the struggles and challenges surrounding putting together Camp Arete each year, just to give someone, give our listeners a more full and real picture for the amount of work and the even the spiritual attack that might go on in the context of that picture.
Yeah, sure. Before I get to the struggles, I really want to tip my hat to so many people that have come to Camp Arete and served us over the years.
Mm.
We've truly been blessed with folks that work in the kitchen tirelessly. We've had counselors. We've had activities directors, nurses, drivers, people that drive across 5, 6, 7, 8 states to bring kids to us. And so in that sense, we have been blessed. You know, I would say that, you know, there's a lot of logistical, practical, pragmatic struggles that occur when you're trying to put a camp together, specifically when it's comprised of staff that are serving from 4 or 5 different churches located in 4 or 5 different states in the country. And so that has always created its own set of challenges. But I think as far as struggles, real struggles, the thing that surprised me most was how much I had to fight to keep our distinctive of teaching. Even among, and this is among, even among men that I know and respect, I got a lot of flack for this focus on teaching 2, 2.5, 3 hours a day. And I think especially early on in the later years, everyone we served with has really come on board and understanding the power that has. But the first 4 years, I was very surprised at the battles I had to fight in order to keep that distinctive. And it always seemed like each year we came to camp, would be just about a week before camp. There would be some new disaster that would occur that jeopardized camp. And it was always confirmation for me that we were actually doing the right thing. And I hope that answers your question. I know I covered a lot there, but, Brad, I think, again, the thing that surprised me most was the struggle to keep that focus on teaching the word.
Well, like I say, the importance to me of giving that rounded picture is just, I think so many folks are consumed with the delusion that because it's ministry, that everything's going to be nice and easy and smooth all the time. But the reality is
that, oh my goodness,
it's always laden with conflict and difficulty, and the need to rely on Christ and continue to go back to your core beliefs and your core trust in Him. So, and I think Orete has been a tremendous example of weathering challenges and moving on and marching on through that. So, I know that the students and the campers, without knowing the specifics of the challenges, are attuned to how much blood, sweat, and tears goes into each year of camp creation, just in terms of what challenges come up. So it's tremendous. Thank you for sharing that. First importance that we definitely want to get out there is, if our listeners know someone who could be a camper next year, this could be a child, a grandchild, someone in their church, someone not in their church, someone connected to a friend of theirs, or however it is, if they know someone who could be a camper or might be interested, first of all, how old must they be? And second of all, how can they get to camp, or at least get information to that person about camp?
Sure. We have two programs. One is for campers, and campers are anywhere from 13 to 18 years old, mm-hmm. and it's an age issue, not whether they've graduated from high school or not. Mm. And we have a second program that targets what we call servant leaders. And that's from the age of 18 to 20. We run those coterminous the same week, mm-hmm. the same place. The what we call the servant leaders, the young adults that serve with us, are in camp right alongside our campers, often helping out. Mm. And so those 13 to 18 for campers and 18 to 20 for servant leaders. Any information that you might want. The very best place to go is our website, and that is www.camparete.com. And let me spell Arete, Arete.com. So that's camparete.com. And there is a registration form, all the information you might need, my personal contact information. I am the president and director. Often new churches have questions, and my contact information is on there. And if somebody's spooled up and ready to launch us a camper, all that they would need to register is right there on the website.
Tremendous, tremendous. And then also, there's a constant need for replenishing and new staff and new volunteers. So for those who may be interested in serving in some capacity, whether that's administration capacity or even being on the ground in terms of driving or various other ways that the camp needs served, what ways could a person contribute, and how would they get involved or kind of start that process about finding out if they could serve at Camp Arete?
Indeed. I would again refer them to the website. We have a staff application there and a camper application. And we are, because we are in our seventh year, we really have refined most of our staff. They're returning staff. Our nursing staff has filled our activities, is filled. What we do have a little bit of a rotation on and always are looking for as good counselors. Mm. And it's particularly as we grow, we like to keep our counselor groups to right to 8 to 10 campers per counselor, and we're anticipating some measure of growth this year, and so counselors are always something that we're in need of. And Again, back to the website, www.camparete.com.
And for the person who may actually may have an interest in that, or may think I'd like to, but I couldn't do that, what is that council role about? Do they need a, you know, do they need a PhD or a seminary degree, or what are the kind of
they need a PhD in how to function without sleep. And then they'll need at least a master's, if not a doctorate, in how to love.
Mm.
And they'll need a understanding and a love for the word.
Mm.
But I think as camp jobs go, that counselor position is perhaps the most demanding emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And I've seen many a counselor come in and midweek, halfway through camp, you know, being in tears in the prayer meeting, and some camper that there's just, they've taken part in their struggle. And by the end of camp, having that struggle resolved and seeing firsthand, you know, it's so rare when the Lord allows us to see problems solved, and that oftentimes in camp that's the case, and just that joy, and just that comfort of knowing that you help somebody along. It's very rewarding, but indeed very demanding.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, seems like we got a lot of good opportunities for people to connect. And again, if you have any questions about that, you can also contact Fort Collins Bible Church, or wherever you encountered this interview should probably have some insight into how to get a hold of us. So as we close, we always close with this simple question, Jeff. If you were to describe your walk with Jesus over the years in a single sentence, what would that sentence be and why?
Wow. Really, Lord? Me? I think that's it. I've never ceased to be amazed at what the Lord has put in front of me. These works, Camparete, and Brad, you know me on a personal level and know some of the work I do down in Brazil, and the job that the Lord's provided me. And I think gratitude is the word that comes to mind, humbled, and just very, very glad to the Lord's grace and the way it's worked in my life in so many ways. And I never in a million years, if we had this conversation 15 years ago, would I have anticipated that I'd be talking to you about running a teenage Bible camp. And yet the Lord had that work prepared for me, and he passed it over. Mm. And so praise him for that, praise him for Brazil, praise him for the great opportunity he's given me and with my job at United Airlines. I'm just very thankful, very humbled.
Mm. That's tremendous. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing so honestly, and again for your service at Camparete. For those of us listeners who might be interested in connecting with Camparete, we'll remind you again, the website is www.camparete.com. That's CAMPARETE.com. And you can also get in touch with Jeff or myself about any opportunities that you have, or any of those who might be interested in serving or giving to, donating to, and supporting Camparete financially. And most importantly, if there's any student in your life who you think may benefit from joining us this year at Camparete, we'd love to make that happen. So please get in touch with us freely over any of those issues. Again, Jeff, thank you so much for joining me.
Brad, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you soon, brother.
To the Ends of the Earth is a ministry of Fort Collins Bible Church. If you'd like to hear more episodes or learn more, please come to www.fortcollinsbiblechurch.com. That again is www.fortcollinsbiblechurch.com, or find us on Facebook. whether at home or whether abroad, your mission, dear saint, is the gospel of God. Whether in darkest jungles or down at the store, tell the news about Jesus and make him known more. Whether your mission field is where you were born, or deep in the heart of places unknown, shout out his grace poured out at the cross. Receive him by faith, that none shall be lost.